beep, 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 and then we critically deconstruct it for you guys. And if you're a regular listener, you know all this already. But let me go ahead and tell you that my friend Ben Glebe is here.
Yep.
Yes.
That is true.
Close personal friend of Mr. Belding.
Yes,
because I saw him
true.
At your birthday party on the dance floor.
That is true. Yeah, he did come to my birthday party. He often comes. He tries to come, and I try to attend his birthday parties.
That's very kind of you.
I just went to his birthday this year, and I walked up to his party.
Uh-huh.
And... He loves Dimples karaoke place
sure,
in
yes.
Burbank.
Yeah.
And he was walking out when I arrived. He's walking this young, very attractive African American woman
uh-huh.
to her car, but I didn't know like what was happening. I thought, is Belding leaving his own party early with the hot girl?
Right.
And then I approached them and it was Lark Voorhees.
No.
Yeah. He was walking Lisa Turtle to her car and I met Lisa Turtle and it was pretty amazing.
Was she cool to you or was
so
she
nice.
Weird?
She was nice. She seemed a little maybe overwhelmed by human contact, but she was
right. How
lovely.
And when was this? How recently?
This was like 3 months ago.
Wow.
So that was cool. They're still like cool with
they're
each
still
other,
tight.
You know?
So yeah. She lives here too?
I don't know if she was
in Burbank
in town
or
visiting. I don't know. She seemed to have her own car, I think. So
right.
She was here. I mean, it was a privilege, you know? It was
yeah,
a real, and
of
then,
course.
Yeah, and then Haskins and I sang Heartbreak Hotel.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's my two favorite tastes coming together.
Yeah.
You see all the Elvis stuff around here.
I think we might have sang two songs together too. It was pretty great.
That is amazing. And meeting Lisa, great. Cherry on top.
Who would you rather make love to, Belding
okay.
or Elvis?
Okay.
It's a legitimate question.
Hey, give me some time to think about it. It's a legitimate
it's
question.
Legitimate.
It's really not.
Okay.
I don't think anybody, right. look, Belding, I'm sure you're a nice guy.
Yeah.
I think you can ask man, woman, child, spanning race, creed, or age. Everybody's going to say Elvis on that.
No.
Mr. Belding's wife's going to go
hey
Elvis
day,
on
Haskins
that.
In his Haskins and his hay? Skinny,
can
svelte,
you tell me this? When was
virile
his heyday?
Haskins? I think
can
the episode
he's
watched, he looked great, man.
I'd like those dates. When? Give me the years that were his heyday.
His hey, man. I don't know. Elvis and his hay was kind of like overblown, you know? Everybody
hey,
wanted him.
Calm down. Calm down. Okay, well, the episode that we just watched, it was called Hold Me Tight.
Oh, yeah.
And the original air date was November 23rd, 1991.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And what I need you to do is give a short synopsis of the plot.
Sure. So, I mean, it was a riveting plot.
Yeah.
And it's an episode that was tough for me, too, because I usually don't like when the episodes are, like, largely not just normal episodes that take place in the diner or in the hallways of
right.
the school. And this was happening
oh, right.
a lot in the
this
gym.
This had a lot of gym action.
A lot
okay.
of gym and, a lot,
yeah.
and largely around a new character, which freaks me out
yes.
also.
Yes.
I like core characters.
Yes.
But, you know, it worked out. It worked out. This woman, Christy, all of a sudden appears in Bayside.
Yes.
And I guess she just transferred there because...
Yeah, they know they, no real backstory.
No real
Christy
backstory.
Christy appears. Yeah.
And she... appears at tryouts for the wrestling team,
yeah.
which for some reason suddenly Zach Morris is a reporter.
Well, hold on. Just give a
general
framework
synopsis.
And then we'll go.
Not frame by frame.
No, it's just, we'll do that later. It's just
got
Christy
it.
Shows up, wants
got
to
it.
Be a wrestler.
Wants to be a wrestler.
Yeah.
Everybody mocks the idea.
Yeah.
She creates a protest thanks to Jesse Spano.
Yes.
She gets the audition, the tryout rather. I'm an actor. I'm sorry. The tryout.
Sure.
Kicks ass, gets on the team.
Yeah.
And then romance flourishes between her and Zach Morris.
Yes.
As it often does for him, that lucky son of a
how
bitch.
How could it not?
Yeah, he's very handsome.
Yeah.
And big cell phone and all.
Yeah.
And then there's some strife because she's too strong for him. Also,
yes.
Jesse, she's a strong personality. Jesse Spano thinks she's trying to get AC Slater from him due to hold that she puts him on. And Jesse walks in at the wrong moment, of course.
Right,
succumb
right.
style. But then there's the big match against their rival school, against whatever school.
Valley.
Against Valley.
Yeah.
And, of course, it's tied 3-3 until Christy comes in at the end.
Kills it.
Tiebreaker. Kills it.
Happy ending.
Happy ending. Kisses Zach Morris on the mouth.
We never hear from Christy again.
We'll never see her again.
Never see her again.
You can't come down from that much of a high.
After that, you're like, I got
to
just transfer to another school
and
do this all over again.
She goes school to school, attacking men.
What if that's her thing, though?
Winning
wrestling
matches.
Going school to school being like, I'm like the Rosa Parks of girl wrestlers.
She is, yeah.
I'm going to come break down barriers at every school.
But she's also a little bit Harriet Tubman-esque. She just goes like
underground
railroad
lady
to underground
wrestler,
railroad.
Railroad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just digs herself hedgehog style to the next
underneath
school.
To another school. And is like, I'm here to free all y'all lady wrestlers.
That's right. Yeah.
That's Christie's lot in
she
life.
She wrestles them from their previous limitations.
Wrestles them from oppression.
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly right.
That's amazing.
That could have been the name of the episode.
Wrestle you from oppression.
Yeah.
Okay. Now let's really get into it.
Okay.
And you are correct. It opens during a wrestling match. And Zach is
practice.
Oh, it's practice.
Practice.
And it's on the radio.
Yeah, he's just there. He's like getting backstory.
You're right. So
there was no other team there. It was just practice.
Because
the first shot was like the other members of the Bayside wrestling team way overacting. They're stretching in the background.
Oh, of
course.
This is
their moment to shine.
Yeah.
And it's the early 90s. You go big with your background acting.
Oh, of course. You got to stand out.
Calisthenics as big as possible.
Yes. Yes. Wow, you're totally right. So it was only practice.
Oh, yeah.
Yet KKTY Tiger Radio is there broadcasting.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, look, you got to go in depth. Zach Morris was the Bob Costas of high school wrestling coverage. He really gets in there.
You want to know these players.
You do.
You want to know what makes them tick.
Absolutely.
You want to know what inspires them to
wrestle. And I think he said his own name 4 times in his 3-sentence report.
It's true.
Zach Morris here. We're talking with Zach Morris and some of the wrestlers here. Zach Morris reporting live. He's very into himself.
So, but come on, he should be.
He should be. He's gorgeous.
If I were Zach Morris, I would just stare into a mirror all day long.
You would?
That's all. I often think about, like, no joke, if we're going to talk about, like, you're my partner, right? You see who my crushes are.
Yeah.
If I'm Morrissey, if I'm, like, 1992 era Morrissey, which is, I think, his heyday, I would just stare into the mirror and jerk off all day. That's all I would do. I'd be like, look at how good looking I am.
Yeah,
he probably did that.
But you assume he's attracted to himself. Isn't he attracted to girls?
No.
You don't think so? He's gay, dude?
He's pretty gay, dude.
He is?
Yeah.
Interesting. And that doesn't affect your attraction to a man, is to know that he has no interest in you?
Unfortunately, even in real life, it has not served as a roadblock when it should have.
That's great.
Yeah. So, no, it doesn't. I mean, obviously,
Elvis
that doesn't make him less.
Wanted to bang you, would have wanted to bang you down.
Hey, look at me. Do you not? My whole style is dress like a lady that maybe Elvis would have tried to date in 1960.
That's right.
Like my whole aesthetic.
Thank you very much.
It totally is.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously, that's my inspiration and how I look. But no, it doesn't. If a guy's gay, I mean, he's still hot. It's not like it makes him look uglier.
No, that's true. But I guess, I don't know. I felt like for a lot of women, they're more attracted to a man's, like, raw essence and their, you know what I mean? I don't know. It was just physical looks.
Then
so
I can
much.
Only be into like the Marlboro Man or something.
All I got going for me is raw essence. I have this brooding fucking look. It's just raw essence.
No, I have many different types. My number one type is unfortunately alpha males. It is people like Zach Morris.
That's
just
weird.
Aryan dreams. Just like tall, blonde hair, blue eyed dudes.
Yeah,
like,
you would have been great in
1930s
Germany. You would have been big.
Yeah. See, I don't like that about me. Like that. Like my both of my two most recent exes were like 6'3", blonde hair, blue-eyed muscle dudes.
Interesting.
I know.
I'm
doomed because normally I lucked out those 2 times because normally those guys are not checking for me.
Right.
Like greaser dudes are checking for me.
Does being on TV help you get that kind of guy?
No.
That you like?
No.
Not at all?
Both of those dudes, no, had nothing to do with being on TV. Being on TV doesn't really help me to get
anything.
Is it
intimidating for guys sometimes? Much like Christie intimidated the
Zach
Morris of
the
world.
My stardom.
Yeah.
Yeah, what? No, it's not. I don't think so at all. it gets me some creepy fan mail. Some super creepy fan mail that I have legitimately forwarded to friends like, this is evidence in my future murder trial.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
But also, like, kind of cool, though?
No. Oh, some, no, but some, when I say creepy, I mean creepy serial killer in-depth sex stuff.
Really?
Yeah, it's horrifying. It's horrifying.
Damn, it must be
it's
so much
not
different
easy being
a
lady
being a girl,
in comedy, Ben.
I'm sure that's very different.
It's really not.
Yeah.
You haven't made, I mean, you get an email from a lady that's like, yo, I want to hump you. You're like, yeah, of course. Like, you're on board with it.
Well,
for
I mean,
a lady,
it very much depends on several factors, but I'm not offended by it.
Right. And you also
not
don't, like,
out.
Fear for your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's different.
Typically, you're right. Yes.
Yeah. Okay, anyway.
Yeah. We digress. Also, I have a question. That first scene, he walks in with his enormous radio broadcasting over the shoulder packet.
No, you're getting ahead of it. That's in the girls' locker room. In the first scene, they're set up. Remember, Screech is like at the broadcasting booth.
Oh, that's right.
It's like
okay.
a legit booth they have in the gym.
I was just kind of
gym.
Assuming he had that on there too, but that's true.
Yeah, that's
But he's wearing
up.
His classic white sneakers.
Oh, huge. Always,
which I don't even. It never affected his popularity with the girls, was to have just Seinfeldian white sneakers.
It is true. Like
never
match
the outfit.
That's true. But they were like high tops. Here's what I'll say about Zach.
Yeah.
Zach's just one of those dudes who just has it, though.
Yeah.
It kind of, it's almost what he looks like is irrelevant. It helps that he's handsome or whatever.
You think, really?
But he's like, he's just got that confidence. He's got that swagger. Let me tell you, this is the thing about ladies, Ben.
Yeah.
Confidence will take you a long way.
I'm out then.
What? You have confidence?
No, I'm kidding. Well, let me ask you a question. Back in the 80s and 90s when this show was in its hay, I keep saying in its hay.
I like it.
Were those outfits even then, were they cool or were they, were we like...
I think they were cool then.
These are ridiculous, multicolored, absurd outfits.
Right. I think for Screech that rings true. I even wrote down because in a future scene he's wearing a shirt that has nothing but violins on it. It's like printed with many violins and that's it. I think Screeches are always ridiculous, but looking back, I don't know. I feel like some of these are cool.
Like this shirt he's wearing right now in this freeze frame at the end of the episode.
That's like some Navajo print rug.
Yeah, it's a Navajo print rug. With like a jean, with like a denim base. It's really weird.
Yeah, I can't, to be honest, I can't really tell you. Because I can't, because we look at it now, you look at things you wore then and you're like, oh, that's corny.
Yeah.
But it was probably of the time.
That's true. I think I dress more like Screech, sadly, a lot of the time.
Really?
Big white t-shirts and...
Well, I think if anybody in here is like the worst, it's Jessie's the most mom-ish. She's always dressed like a mom.
Just in general, I always hated her character so much. It was the only character I could not have liked less.
Really?
And ended up giving me such respect for Elizabeth Berkley as an actress. When my mind was blown when she did Showgirls, like right after Saved by the Bell, I was like... What do you mean?
Her rage.
She's not actually like a horribly bitchy, unpleasant look on her face, feminist the whole time.
Right.
She actually was acting. It blew my mind.
I can only take away from this that you are a misogynist.
What? How do you figure?
Who hates women.
No.
That's all I'm taking away from
this. I love feminists, but why you gotta have like an unpleasant, like constipated look on your face during the feminism?
Yeah, but as we get into this episode and even in previous ones, she's not the greatest representative for feminism.
No,
because she's going to turn on this
lady.
Yeah,
she does not,
which we'll get to,
hold true to her beliefs.
So yeah, weirdly they have a full radio setup in the gym to broadcast the wrestling practice. Now in the middle of this, Christy just walks in and says to Zach, excuse me, to get his attention,
right?
And Zach, with that swagger on 100,000 million, says, you're perfect. You don't need any excuses.
What a line.
Come on, man. That's like pre the game. That's pre mystery, pre the game.
That's true. He's already flipped it right there.
Yes.
Power switch.
Yes. So she's like, oh, thank you, whatever. And then says, I'm looking, you know, for the wrestling coach.
Which also makes a lot of sense. If you walk in looking for the wrestling coach, you'd avoid asking all of the wrestlers.
All the wrestlers on the floor.
And you ask the guy mid broadcast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the one you interrupt.
Yes, of course.
That makes a lot of sense.
Not the guys in the middle of the act of wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she asks Zach, he's like, why do you want to know? And she's like, yeah, I want to try out for the team. And then Nessie's like, what? You're a girl.
Yeah, he makes the first misogynistic joke. He's like, I can't even understand this.
Yeah.
You're a girl.
You're a girl. Well, this makes no sense.
Yeah, and that's when you think there's not going to be a future for them right off the bat.
Right.
That's how Saved by the Bell plant seeds that take you the wrong way and they flip it on you. It's like M. Night Shyamalan.
Totally. The twist is they really like each other.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, Doy, I know. I still want to try out for the team. And then that's when the coach actually walks in, and you did know him.
Yeah, comedian Monty Hoffman.
Yes.
Did many shows with him, and you informed me that he passed away.
Yeah, on a previous episode, Dana Gould said that he only recently passed away because Dana Gould had already known him.
The wrestling teacher in a lot of episodes?
No, on the previous episode, he played the shop teacher.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I did a lot of shows with Monty. Very nice guy, and his big catchphrase as a comedian was pussy. He would just say pussy.
How is that a catchphrase?
Oh, it's a catchphrase.
Is it?
Believe me, it's a
phrase. So he would say pussy and like the crowd would cheer.
I can't think of a phrase I want to catch more than that, honestly.
Right.
Yeah, the crowd would, I don't know if they would cheer,
but it was a known thing, it was a thing he would do in his act a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
He would say pussy in that exact voice.
Rest in peace, sir.
Rest in pussy. Hopefully that's what he's got.
Hopefully that's what he's doing now.
Absolutely.
That's what heaven is filled with.
Should be all pussy up there.
Yeah.
Up there. And then Monty also makes a great joke, too, when she says she wants to be in the wrestling team. He's like, this is a gym, not a Jane.
Thank you. I wrote that down as well.
Which
I totally wrote that down.
Priceless.
Which is a total dad joke.
But also, it's true.
It is true. I mean,
it's not
solid,
a Jane.
You're right.
It's a Jim.
I mean, it's a fact.
Just a fact.
On top of being a joke.
Right.
And of course, as we've established in other episodes, like the writers are all like 60-year-old white men, so that's a perfect dad joke.
It really
for
is.
All of
it's
them.
Not a great joke.
So he goes, what? You can't do it, your girl. Totally openly makes fun of her. And that's when she's kind of like, what? Let me show you what I'm made of.
Yeah.
And, you know, pins. I don't know shit about. I have to say, first of all, before we even get any further, I don't know anything about wrestling. I know nothing about it.
I don't know a ton about it. I know it gives you cauliflower ear a lot of times.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I know stuff about pro wrestling because as a little redneck growing up in Georgia,
oh, sure.
I fully went to see wrestling
well,
all
you
the
know
time.
That's not real, right? You know it's not real.
I don't appreciate you
Saved
saying
by the Bell's
that.
Realer. Than
realer
wrestling.
Than wrestling. Yeah, of course. But like I grew up going to like Monday Night Raw because
really?
WWF and stuff, well, now WWE, it was based in Atlanta.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Are oh, you from Atlanta?
Yeah.
Oh, no
so,
kidding.
So, not only did I go to that stuff, but, like, I would see wrestlers out all the time.
Really?
I used to see Buff Bagwell out at the Steak and Shake by my parents' house all the time.
Really?
Him and, like, Lex Luger went to a friend of mine's gym. Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, lived in my friend's neighborhood. And you know his son is Goldust.
I don't know who Goldust is.
Oh, he wrestled after him. But Dusty Rhodes, the American Dream, lived in my friend Jeremy's neighborhood. And it was the best because every Halloween, we would race to his house because he gave out full-size candy bars.
Oh, smart. Yeah.
So we're like, oh, this guy's
wrestlers
balling.
Wrestlers have to give out full-size candy bars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I didn't follow it too much. I did own some of those like plastic rubber wrestling dolls.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But in my later years, maybe like 6-7 years ago, I was doing a web series for Playboy, non-adult division.
They have
a non-adult division for some reason. And one of the episodes, Rowdy Piper was our guest. And we interviewed him in a wrestling ring in his backyard. And he choked me out for real. And I lost consciousness. I signed up for this. I volunteered for him to do that.
Did
to
you
me.
Have to sign a waiver beforehand
no,
being like, what
no.
if he knocks you
it
out?
It was just like so ghetto-ly done. He's like, who's going to let me do my sleeper hold on him? And I like, yeah, I'll do it. And then between the next setup, I'm like, we're going to fake that, right? And he goes, listen, brother, I don't care about this macho shit. We can fake it if you want, but let me just tell you, it's completely safe. All I do is cut off the blood flow to your brain.
Oh.
You lose consciousness for about 30 seconds. You come right back, and you're all good. And I'm like, oh, the whole crew is like nodding their heads, like, do it, do it. And I'm like, okay, I'll do it. And got knocked out. Everything went black. I wake up. I was like, it's online somewhere. Like, it's weird. I came into like horse noises when I came back to.
Right.
And for a week, my throat was so sore. I went home and WebMD'd it, and you can die from that apparently, like fairly easily.
Well, sure, because if it's cutting off blood to your brain,
yeah, it's not a good move.
No,
I've never been the same since.
No, that explains
fine.
A lot.
It does.
It really does.
But it was pretty scary. But
that's not. Doesn't that guy do stand up now?
He tries to do stand up. Yes.
Have you ever been on a show with him or anything?
No. No, but I did get to roast him years later, and I told the story, but he almost killed me.
How he almost murdered you with his bare hands.
Yeah.
Not cool.
He is.
Yeah, I see his name on the marquee at the Improv sometimes.
And that's
I'm
pretty
just like,
amazing.
What?
He's a nice guy. Doesn't have a great memory.
He's a nice
memory.
Guy.
He
almost
is.
Murdered me, but a cool
no, he
dude.
He was so sweet. After he did that, he was like, look, I'm sorry it hurts you. Let me show you how to do the hold yourself. I almost choked him out then when he taught me how to do it.
Right.
It apparently worked. You know, it's not about strength. You can just really get that great
it's
grip.
It's just like about angles.
Yeah. It really is about angles.
All right.
So that was exciting.
So maybe Christy knows that then, because here's my thing. That what I was ramping up, I don't know shit about wrestling.
Yeah.
I do know that in real wrestling, though, I assume, like, you're matched up by weight class.
Yeah.
So I remember when I first saw this, like, hey, I'm a feminist. I'm totally, sisters doing it for themselves. Wrestle all day long if you want to, ladies. My assumption is that they didn't have lady wrestlers on teams with dudes because nobody would match up weight class wise.
Maybe Screech would, but like, yeah,
he right. But
wasn't
it's like
wrestling.
He's not gonna be a wrestler.
Yeah,
but
it's
not
true.
Like Christy. If you match Christy up with Slater, she's gonna lose not because she lacks skill, but because that dude's like twice as heavy as she is.
So you're definitely pro women being able to wrestle against the men. You just think it should be fat girls.
Absolutely.
Right.
100%.
I got it. Yes. Now I get your brand of feminism. I understand that.
Yes.
You want equal rights for only for fat girls.
Yes.
Got
I
it.
Think that that is
got
fair.
It. That makes a lot of sense.
So she.
Oh, and then Monty Hoffman has a great joke. I thought it was actually a little risque for Saved by the Bell. He goes, if you want to wrestle girls, date them.
Yes. He does say
that. That's nice.
Which is risque and also has a little bit of a tinge of date rape to it.
It does.
A little date rape.
It does, because, why are they wrestling? Rolling around, maybe, but
wrestling is a little forceful.
Both sides are not on the same page.
Exactly.
In a wrestle.
Yes.
That's true. That's a strong point.
Wrestling
I hadn't thought about
has a
that.
Winner and a loser.
I hadn't thought about that. I was so aroused by the joke, I didn't consider.
Right. Of course, I'll forgive you because
be rapey.
First, when you first hear it, you're like, "Hey," and then
yeah,
when it sinks
then
in,
it
you're
sinks
like,
in.
"Oh, it's a little rapey."
I just endorsed the date rapey joke. And I didn't want to.
Yeah, but that's before. Now that we've talked it out.
No, yeah, it didn't. Like it just didn't occur to me.
Yeah.
I know.
You've grown from the experience.
I think I've
you
grown,
know
yeah.
where you stand now.
I do. I still like the joke. I love it. I like it more.
Love it. So she demonstrates. She's like, let me show you what I can do. Totally pins a guy.
Wait, that not yet.
Doesn't she?
No, she pins him like way later. She doesn't get the audition first.
The audition.
Yeah, I keep calling it an audition.
Yeah, because you're an
actor. Oh, it's so ridiculous. No, but,
I thought she did.
No,
I thought
it's
she's
way
like,
later.
I'm just as good.
After the protest, she gets the
you're right.
The
she
tryout.
Tries to. She tries to be like, let me show you
still
how good I am.
Still
in this
scene
like,
first
no.
before it ends. Remember, then she goes up to Zach Morris, and then all of a sudden after he didn't get the concept of a female wrestler, then he's like, he literally says, I'm Zach Morris, and I'll help you out.
You're 100% right.
He again
right.
says his name,
yes.
and then brings him to everybody.
You're 100% right.
At the restaurant. What's the restaurant called again?
The Max.
Oh, the Max.
The restaurant.
Right.
I don't
the
think
diner.
I've ever heard anybody call it a restaurant.
Yeah.
What's that fine dining establishment called again? Oh, it's the Max. Yo, you're
the
right.
word restaurant implied fine dining, but okay. Sure.
You're totally right, though. Is that he, yeah, so 5 minutes earlier, he's like, oh, lady wrestler, whatever, loser. And then 5 minutes later is like, oh, I'm going to spearhead the campaign
exactly.
to get you on this
exactly.
team.
Exactly. And they think yeah. they're going to get Belding on board, and he walks in laughing hysterically.
Yes, that's the next scene, is they walk into the offices.
Oh, it's not the Max, right?
They walk
right,
into the studio of KTY
right, right.
Tiger Radio, where Jesse is there about to do her show, and then... Yeah, they come in and they're like, hey, what are we going to do about this? You're the resident feminist. How are we going to fight for this lady's rights to get on the wrestling team? And that's when they say, well, let's take it to Mr. Belding. He's like a real understanding, cool dude.
Mm-hmm.
He'll totally help us out.
Walks in laughing hysterically.
Laughing his ass
Why
off.
Why is he laughing? Someone just told me that there's going to be a fee. That's a girl trying to try out for the wrestling
yes.
team. So, I mean, really, we're setting up a great dramatic tension now.
Plus,
because now he's enemy of the state.
Oh, completely. 100%.
Big
but.
Time. He's Gene Hackman.
How not professional. Like, you still, you're going to walk in, you know there's going to be students there.
Yeah.
Like, you can't clown on another student
openly.
Well, he
openly. Was prepping his radio show. He cared more about his content
but
than
that's
his next
even,
hour.
But you're adding to my point. Not only does he come in laughing in front of other students at another student,
yeah.
but was going to do a show, was going to talk on the radio
yeah.
about how
not
lame
cool.
another student is.
Not cool to do that.
You arguably would get fired.
Yeah,
you,
I mean,
imagine the principal
but, I mean,
at your
who's
school.
Ever going to stand up to Mr. Belding? He was the king of that crew.
Yeah, well, I can't figure this out even with all these episodes. Like, if he answers to the school board.
He answers to nobody. He's Mr. Belding.
Look,
he had
you're
he had
letting
a
your personal friendship
power.
Cloud your
no,
judgment.
No, he's the man and a half, man. He had a despotic
he
power that's never been paralleled.
He has to answer to a school board. So imagine your high school
yeah.
has a radio station. That's already weird enough. But imagine
my high
it
school
does.
Did have a radio station.
It did.
I had a radio show at it.
Okay, we need. I've gotten emails from a handful of people who were like, "I also had one."
Yeah.
Okay, but imagine.
Hey, Bev.
Where did you grow up?
Beverly Hills High School.
That's right.
I was sort
We've
of.
Had
a,
this
I was
discussion.
Sort of the David Silver of my school.
Right.
Embarrassingly, because I wanted to be Brandon Walsh or Luke Perry.
Wait, and you were in high school during 90210
times. During 90210, yeah.
So you're like living 90210.
I was living the dream. Yeah, it was
wow.
unbelievable. People would pull up in front of the school and say, excuse me, where's West Beverly? And I'd be like, there is no West Beverly. This is the school you're looking for.
That's amazing.
I would throw rocks at their car.
No, but no shit. Like, you went
yeah.
to
oh, yeah.
Beverly Hills 90210 in life.
But it was in 90212, actually. The whole thing is lies. The show really changed the facts quite a bit. 90210 is the richer zip code in Beverly Hills.
But there's no high school.
I grew
on
up
that
in
zip.
South Central Beverly Hills.
That's right. That's right.
I told you
We've
this
talked
before.
About this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Literally just a normal lower middle class house, but it was within this city of riches and it was weird, you know.
So is there not a high school in the 90210 zip
there's
code?
There's not. No, there's just one high school in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you went to it and you were
yeah, I was
a
regular
DJ on the school radio station.
I was, and I was a kid. Mine was more of a talk show, but we played some songs here and there.
Right.
But it was a comedy talk show. But I would...
Well, let me ask you this, though. Yeah. Who listened? Because were you doing it during school hours?
No. No, after school. And it would air on the TV station that aired citywide.
Okay.
And it would air on TV station. You'd just have a screen where you could write whatever you wanted. And then it would just be audio.
Okay.
And so people that would tune in, like a lot of students, a lot of parents and things would tune in. My show was pretty risque.
Right.
It was pretty free. We were allowed to do whatever we wanted, really. It was pretty great. We were making crack jokes and things right. of this nature.
But never, what trips me up about things like Saved by the Bell and 90210 is that whenever they do have a school radio station, it's always portrayed as airing during school hours. And so my thing is like, everyone's in class. They can't listen to the radio.
That's true. I think maybe there'd be a lunchtime show. During lunch, you could do a show.
Right.
I think there was a lunch show maybe.
Okay. But even still, at your high school, with your high school radio station, if your principal were to get on and be like, oh, I got a doozy. I'm just going to clown on a student for the entirety of my radio show.
It wouldn't fly.
No, of course it wouldn't.
That would not fly.
Yes. So everything about that's ridiculous.
That's a strong point. That's a strong point.
Thank
you.
That's what this show exists for, to really point out the logical inaccuracies in Saved by the Bell.
Yeah. But then they hit you the next moment with Kelly Kapowski at the Max working there. Looking unreal.
Calm your boner down
looking
for a second.
Unfucking real.
Calm it down just for a second.
Oh, it brought back memories.
I know it did. But listen, you skipped a little bit.
I wanted to.
Okay.
I really wanted to.
Hold on.
Okay.
Because when Belding comes in and he's laughing, and then they're like, what? You know, we're going to have to leave it to Jessie instead. Jessie gets on her show. She's I'm going to take, I'm going to use the power of the airwaves.
Oh, yeah.
She gets on her show. She talks a hard game. Like, she's like, yo, Belding's a sexist pig. The coach is a sexist pig.
Yeah.
Straight up calls.
Names two big enemies.
Right. And
two
calls,
most hated people to base us.
Yes. Calls out both of these adults.
Yeah.
Calls them sexist pigs. Says they suck. Whatever. Now.
She was not afraid of Belding at all.
Not at all.
No.
But the scene you're talking about, yes, we're back in the Max. Yes, Kelly is working there. But the important thing is everyone is gathered around a radio like it's the goddamn 1920s.
It's true, yeah.
Like a fireside chat.
The president's fireside chat. It's
like,
true.
Look,
and then Spano during her rant, right, there's a couple little jokes and little laughs in the speech. Mm-hmm. But at the end, her big laugh, she goes, they're such pigs. What do they make sounds like this? And then she just plays a sound effect of an oinking pig, and it gets the most uproarious laughter from the laugh track.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, people just really apparently did not see that oink coming. They were really pleased.
They couldn't deal with the Foley artist who brought their A game with that oinking noise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. And so does everybody at the Max, because everyone is gathered around the table listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it's the 90s, and I know it's pre-internet. I get that, I listen to the radio, and then the fervent, like, oh my God, turn on the radio. We have to hear the radio. Everyone's losing their shit.
Yeah, it's true.
And it does, it's like a call to arms for the girls at Bayside, because the next scene is everyone protesting at the gym.
So we're just going to skip over how amazing Kelly Kapowski looked then? I don't even get to talk about it when we hit that scene?
Go ahead. I can't add anything to it.
Well, you don't find her objectively?
She's
attractive.
She's,
I can
she's
tell you
gorgeous.
Objectively, Elvis is a good-looking man.
Of course. She's gorgeous. That's not
You never had girl dreams about Kelly Kapowski?
I did not have girl dreams about her. I swear I didn't.
Oh, she just doesn't get better.
See, she's great. I had...
When she joined 90210 to combine those storylines...
Oh, my God.
In our
did
podcast
you lose
here,
your mind?
I lost my fucking mind.
Yeah.
Oh, I
Because was
mind.
It kind of like she was in your world now?
She entered my world. I felt as though she started attending my school. I would look for her in the halls.
Yeah.
I mean... She,
oh,
the
and then
halls
you had to
medicine.
Be disappointed. See, that was my thing, is when I was watching this, I would just get, I got mad that, like, no dudes at my school look like Zach. I mean, I guess maybe you went to school in Beverly Hills. I suppose there's, like, a lot of hot ladies.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of hot ladies. And then it was just surreal. It's like, I'm just, like, regular kid with, like, a regular background going to school. But then, like, when the school ends and parents are in front with their cars to pick people up, you'd see, like, snakeskin boots sticking out of one of the SUV windows. And it's Rod Stewart there
to pick
up his kid.
I was about to say, did you... A friend of mine grew up in Hollywood and went to school in her high school, Kirsten Dunst.
Oh, nice.
The girl who played Six on Blossom. She grew up with like a handful of famous people in her actual
class. I had a little crush on Six to a degree.
What famous people went to your high school? Did you have any
in
your classes?
We didn't have a lot of huge... In the history of my high school, a lot of famous people. Like
right, but nobody
Richard Dreyfuss
were?
And Alicia Silverstone and Angelina Jolie and Lenny Kravitz and things. But when I was there, I think Angelina Jolie was supposedly there 1 year at the continuation school for troubled children.
Sure,
one
makes
year
sense.
When I was there. She was cutting back then, you know.
Right.
And
wait, who? Rod Stewart. So was Rod Stewart's daughter in your school?
I guess so. Yeah. And then who else? There was like we didn't have any huge. There was like Jermaine Jackson Jr. went to the
Your Majesty.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Now is his name.
Well, he has. I mean, he has more than one kid, but one of his sons' name is Jer Majesty.
No, this one was Jermaine Jackson Jr. His real name is Jer Majesty. His real name.
I swear to God,
birth certificate.
I haven't personally seen a copy of his birth certificate, but like, yeah, it would. I've seen his kids.
Should have been more
listed
into that birth certificate than the Manning Obamas. I want to see Jer Majesty.
Jer Majesty Jackson.
That's
yes,
unbelievable.
Yes,
Jer Majesty.
Jer Majesty,
wow,
and a dude.
Horrible.
I almost see it being a girl's name.
Yeah, totally.
But a guy's name.
Yeah. Is Jamiroquai a Jermaine Jackson child? I'd like to know if Jamiroquai.
You're acting like Jamiroquai is a person.
Jamiroquai is a person?
It's not a person, it's a band.
Really? The lead singer is not named
Jamiroquai?
The
lead singer is JK.
Jamiroquai Quali. It's not?
Jamiroquai, as far as I know, is not a human being's name.
Well, you only have,
until you have a son or daughter and you name them Jamiroquai.
I mean, if that's true, I'm, honestly, that's like shocking my worldview a little bit.
It's a band.
I can't
band
believe that. I would be forced to ask, like, to the cosmos, Jamiroquai. I like have to know.
Why would you do this?
Why
to
would
me?
You do this to me? Yeah, I'm stunned. I'm stunned about
I,
that.
I actually feel kind of bad.
What you're saying is virtual insanity to me. That's how ridiculous.
I'll tell you this too. I've seen Jamiroquai live.
Really?
I still listen to Jamiroquai albums.
Did he have like treadmills on stage?
He did not.
Oh, come
I
on.
Saw them at the International Ballroom in Atlanta, which we was it was called the International Bathroom because it was just a big giant cement room.
Oh, nice.
It wasn't the greatest venue, but I went with my friend Jeremy that I mentioned earlier. We went to see them.
All these Jer names. Jeremy.
Jeremy.
And Jeremy and Jer Majesty going to see Jamiroquai.
That's right. Jeremy was one of my best. He still is one of my good friends. But yeah, we were best friends from like sixth grade on. We went to see them. Yeah. I'm into music. I'm into all kinds of music, including Jamiroquai, even in this day and age.
And the guy's name is JK. What does
his
the J
name
stand
is JK
for, you know?
It's like J-A-Y-K-A-Y.
Well, that's not his born name either.
I'm sure that isn't.
I really wish his name was Jamiroquai, the lead singer of Jamiroquai.
You know what? Start a petition. Get him to legally change it.
I will start a petition for that in the mid-90s.
You have a problem with people's names.
Yeah.
You just need to accept them for what they are.
I don't know. I don't think I do.
But if you do whatever you need to do to get Idris Elba to go on a date with me.
If that became my whole stand-up routine was just about people's names, like, really? Really? Someone's name is Mark Paul Gosselaar?
Totally.
Hey, I'm Grosselaar'd out by that name. But if that was my whole act, was just the
like,
worst cheesy
Jamiro
name puns.
Jamiro, why?
Yeah. Yeah. Rod Stewart. Rod, stew over choosing another name for a while before you settle on that one, and then get have a drummer on stage and rim shots. I drop
yes
the mic and just peace out. My name's Glebe, for real, late. And just, you know.
I think you just wrote a new 10 minutes.
A new character, at least. Yeah. He
the
hates
name
people's
guy
names.
He just hates anyone's name.
Yeah. April
like
Richardson?
It.
Why not May Richardson? Why not?
It's a good point.
Why not
though.
June Richardson? Those are names too.
Those are all good points.
Thank you so much.
I'm not. My name sucks. So
no,
that's
what do you
not
mean? It's very
so uncreative. I'm like, Mom, you reached for the nearest calendar
no, but the two
when
work
naming
together,
your only
the
born.
The two work together well. April Richardson rolls nicely.
Does it?
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's
sounds
good
almost like a candy. I actually like your name.
Oh, thank
I'm
you.
I'm critical of names. We've established
yeah,
this.
Yes, that's your thing.
No, April Richardson I think is a good name.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'll keep it then.
AP freaks me out a little bit.
That's only because it's a nickname. All my friends call me that. Ape or Apes. Some variation of
yeah,
those.
But like,
ape.
So
when, I had, when I signed up for
so
Twitter,
you're marketing
everything
yourself
was taken
online. You're like, let me just go for an inside joke instead of something
no
people would ever be able to guess.
How about, what if it's like this, Ben? What if it's like, I want everyone to feel like they're my friend?
Oh, that's cute. That's cute.
I want everyone to feel like they can call me by my nickname.
But then also your Instagram is different than your Twitter. Like I recently posted a picture of us on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And I put at AP. People were mad leaving comments. It's not at AP. It's at April Rich.
They were furious.
And I'm like, all right. How do I know? I don't have a research staff.
All of that is down to when I signed up for Twitter, every variation of April, April Richardson, April Marie, anything I would have used is already taken. That's
you just could add a word to it. April Richardson.
Then that's long
fun
as shit.
It is
look,
long.
I deal in a game of retweets. You,
what about
precious,
App Rich? Was App Rich taken?
I don't know. I'll have to go see. But you have precious space. It's easier to RT AP, followed up with
that's
some of
true
my gems,
okay, all right,
than to RT, you know, whatever, April Richardson comedy funny times.
Well, I hate when comics put comedy in the name. That's no good.
Yeah.
Seems hacky to me.
Well, sometimes I get that you have to do it. If your name's like Bob Smith.
I get it, but don't put comedy. Put a more creative word in there.
Like Jamiroquai.
Yeah. Jamiroquai, his Twitter handle's not at Jamiroquai Music.
Right.
At Jamiroquai Sings, you know, it's
Sings.
at Jamiroquai Sings. At Jamiroquai Sings on treadmills.
I can only assume they got to Twitter before the other 8 million Jamiroquais in the world signed up and took their username.
Don't underestimate the amount of Jamiroquais.
It's one. There's one.
No, there's. I guarantee, there's one. Even if his name is not Jamiroquai, there's a bunch of black children named, who are named Jamiroquai.
Do you think they're named after the band?
I mean, probably. Subconsciously, yeah. At least.
Yes. Because they were conceived during a Jamiroquai song?
You notice at a gym on a treadmill.
Oh, that's true.
And it brought back memories.
Yes.
Maybe. I don't know. Let's keep talking about the episode.
Yeah. 20-minute Jamiroquai tangent. Yeah.
This is a Jamiroquai podcast, right?
Yes.
This is so, Go Jamiroquai is
yes,
the name of the...
it's just solely made. We're wearing giant fur hats right now.
Yeah, we are.
We're walking on treadmills.
You better believe it.
It's all Jamiroquai all the time
very slowly,
here.
So we're not out of breath.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So then after
where
the whole...
Where were we?
Okay, so then...
Protest.
Protest. So there's a big protest at the gym now.
At the gym.
Picket signs already made up.
Picket
like, beautiful.
Signs. It's maybe 10 girls, maybe easy. 15.
A couple guys in there too, no?
I would assume...
All girls?
My point is, I would assume there are more girls that go to Bayside, so it seems like not every girl on campus is on board with this.
True.
Not every girl is fighting for feminist ideals.
I know. I was sort of surprised Kelly Kapowski was on board, to be honest.
I know. But I feel like she just kind of does what Jesse says.
Yeah, she does whatever. She's a shell of a woman.
Yeah.
But she's gorgeous.
Look, all she concentrates on is her appearance.
Yeah. I just want to rub my young self on her. No. Like, luck. I want luck to rub off.
Yes. Dude, luck. Don't even. Rub. Are you? Almost every guy guest I've had is like, oh, I've completely jerked off to Kelly.
And I can't even remember for sure if I have, but I'm sure.
I'm sure you did.
Maybe in Saved by the Bell days, I was a little bit pre-jerk off or like.
Wait, are you younger or older than me?
1 year older. I'm 35.
Okay.
So, I don't know.
So, that's jerk off times?
In 91, I was 13. I guess that's jerk off times.
That's prime jerk off. That's like when you're doing nothing but jerking off
that's
times.
That's true. But I think I didn't ever jerk off just looking at, like, someone in, like, a clothed sitcom. I think maybe I used my imagination. Did I use her?
Well, of course.
I probably used her
she triggers...
imagination-wise. I probably did. But, I mean, I saw her now. Again, I'm like, it brought everything
back.
She's
stunning.
But is it weird now? Is it weird to be attracted as an adult now to somebody in high school? Even if you were attracted to them then? Because you're just
Jiffy
you're
had
just
that when Jiffy was
memories.
On. He had that question. He was like, "Am I a perv because now I'm of a? I'm an adult. She's a teen, and I still think she's hot."
But your crush doesn't go away.
Yeah, I don't think you are a perv.
I think mentally, you go back to where you were.
Yeah, and you guys are both adults now. So I feel like even in the back of your mind, you know she's an adult. So you know it's not creepy because you're like
right. But it brings up so many questions. What if Tiffany Amber Thiessen had a child? And then that child is now high school age and looks exactly like Kelly Kapowski in her hay. Like exactly.
That's.
What do you do then?
Oh, I don't. That's
you're
weird.
You're going to see her and it's going to make you think Kelly Kapowski Bayside. You're
going
to be attracted sexually.
Yeah, but you got to. She's got to be 18, dog. Now
what
that
if
you're
she
an
looks
adult.
18 and she's 16
nope.
and a half.
Nope.
You can't be attracted without doing anything about it?
I mean, I guess you can, but don't feel good about yourself.
Well, no, I'm not going to like write an essay about my feelings and be like, I'm so proud of my feelings developing for the young Tiffany Amber Thiessen Jr.
Yeah, that could get you put in jail. Junior Tiffany
Amber Thiessen Jr. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think.
Would you rather, it's Tiffany Amber Thiessen, Your Majesty?
The second. No, I mean.
It's a hard question, though.
You can't control who you're attracted to.
No.
But I feel like in that situation, it's a thing where you're like, maybe keep it to yourself. Maybe don't.
Don't say it on podcasts.
Don't say it on podcasts. Don't
Got it.
Make a big deal
never,
out of it.
I'll never do that.
Wait until she's 18.
Yeah.
Then
I'll be in my mid-40s.
Then talk
point.
About it openly.
Good.
Yeah.
I've been waiting for this day.
Yes.
Stand outside of her birthday party.
Yes.
In a trench coat.
Have like that.
I've been waiting
Remember
for this
Remember
when
people had a countdown for Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen?
Yes. That was creepy. Yeah. Especially because they were so unattractive.
And they still look less
people
than 18.
People that want to make love to pond ducks.
Yeah. Well, their attractiveness, that's neither here nor there. They just look young to me. So even now, they still look like they're under 18.
You know, to me, more of the issue is just how creepy looking they are.
Yeah. Because they're just like too skinny.
They just look absurd. Like their face, they look like they're like a deflating inflatable doll.
Yeah.
Like they don't look, they've never looked, ever since they were like 4 years old, they've never been cute in the least bit. They just looked, they went weird, man.
Yeah.
They went weird.
They're richer than we'll ever be in our entire lives.
Well, that's a fact.
So
they don't need to look good.
Why don't they buy new faces?
That's another good question.
God.
Oh,
did.
And then
this
so,
is going
so then,
down a road.
Yeah, well, it is. So okay. So then, the protest ends.
So we're talking about feminism. after right. we're talking about how ugly two famous ladies
yes,
are.
Yes, exactly.
Good call. Okay.
And then the coach, Monty Hoffman, is like, all right, you get your tryout right now.
Yes, yes.
And then he gets a tryout, and then she pins the guy immediately, and she's yes. amazing. He's like, oh, forget all of my misgivings. You're on the team. Very quickly
totally.
Comes on board.
Exactly. He goes, get Rodriguez in here. She pins Rodriguez in 2 seconds, and like we've talked about before, he does look like he's not in her weight class. It looks like something that would be yeah. kind of impossible to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Not that I'm clowning on Christy. She seems lovely and strong and great.
No.
But he seems out of her weight class, but she pins him immediately, and you're right, and the yep. coach is like, you're totally on the team right now.
Totally on the team. And then, all is forgiven in all, that respect.
Totally.
And
then Jesse even
the
says, we sisters have to stick together.
Right.
Because Christy's like, thank you
and
so
I
much.
I thought I felt like a little lesbian vibe at that moment, too. Did you notice? I thought it was going to go that way for a second.
Of course you did.
I thought for a second. Look, I thought it was going to be
we're talking
shift.
About the feminist of the show.
Yeah, aren't feminists sometimes lesbians?
Right, but their lesbianism is not there for you to fantasize about.
I don't say I was fantasizing about it. I was repulsed by the idea.
Oh!
But I'm just saying
oh,
I
like,
felt,
that's better.
Felt it was a tinge.
Sure, sure.
I'm
no,
I
think it
was
a rare moment.
How attracted to the idea I was.
I think it was a rare moment of solidarity.
Okay.
From Jesse, who okay. is a fair-weather feminist.
Yeah.
As we will find out later.
Yeah, and then Christy runs over to Zach Morris and goes, how can I thank you for this? And he goes, oh, I'll think of something.
Right.
That was kind of rapey.
That is kind of rapey.
It was kind of rapey.
And he,
but also still a good line.
Yeah.
You know?
Sexy in the right, rapey in the wrong context, sexy in the right yeah. context.
Like the moment you've done something nice for a girl, and if she feels very validated as a person, that's when you want to say, well, you're going to suck my dick for this.
Yeah.
that's the moment.
All I have to go on record is, you're putting words in Zach's mouth.
No, all you
I'm
going to think of something.
Say, you got to S my D for this.
Well, you don't think that's what he was implying?
You don't think she doesn't want to just give it up?
But then why does he got to say it so intense, you know?
Okay, well, so they, Jesse's like, hey, we sisters got to stick together. And they're like, okay, thanks. So the next scene is they are at the Max celebrating. They're all sitting at a table. They're all like, Christy, you're the best. Good job. Like, awesome.
Yeah.
And then that's when she starts talking to Slater as if he is super famous, like a famous athlete,
oh, yeah.
because he goes...
This is pre-radio Mario Lopez, so he's not that famous yet.
He's not that famous. Yeah. Also...
Pre-Access Hollywood.
Yeah, any hosting gigs
yeah.
that he now has.
Yeah.
But she goes... Because he's like, how did you pin that guy so fast? And she's like, I used the move that you used against, you know, so-and-so at the Valley meet. And he's like... What? You watch me? And she's like, yeah, I know all your moves.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what? Of course he's flat. Anyone would go, wow, that's flattering.
Of course.
But.
I've never had anyone quote me back to me before. It was
right.
the physical version of that When Harry Met Sally scene with Bruno Kirby.
Yeah. Yeah. So, of course, you're going to be like, oh, my God, awesome.
Yeah.
But we're led to believe that she just showed up. So she presumably just transferred or something.
No, but she studied him from afar.
Yeah, yeah. Like, how, like, she's, it sounded like she had been going to years of wrestling matches. Because, again, he's not famous. He's not on TV. These are not things that you can just turn on the TV and watch
right, yeah.
a Bayside wrestling match. So she's physically gone to numerous wrestling matches over the years.
She's dreamed his dream, you know what I mean? She
memorized
had
Slater's
sure.
moves.
Yeah. And they didn't even have, like, a good DVR system or.
No!
There weren't good video cameras. I mean, she
no!
had it was just brain in her, it burned in her brain.
Yeah, she's just doing the legwork of going to all these matches. And so
yeah.
he is flattered, but I'd be like, wait a minute. That's pretty weird. Like,
no.
how have you done all this?
When you're a public athlete, you expect.
How
you
is
expect
he a public
fans to know your work. I mean, why else do you do it? For your own satisfaction? No, you do it for accolades.
For the glory.
For the glory of love.
Or in the words of Lady Gaga. You do it for the applause.
Yeah.
Applause, applause.
Yeah, you do. You do.
Well, he's eating it up, and that's when Jesse is kind of giving her the stink eye, and it's kind of like, wait a minute. Yo, bitch.
Mm-hmm.
That's my man.
Yeah, and then he kept saying, like, relax, mama. I never got. Why does he always call Jesse mama? Always.
Yeah, because we talk about
it's
this,
so
too, because
it's
a thing no teenagers would ever do.
Ever say that.
Never.
I don't care if you're, like, half Italian, half Armenian, half Argentinian, whatever the hell AC Slater was.
He has three halves?
Mama. Yeah, what was he? What was his ethnic background?
He's Latino.
Oh, I didn't even get any of them. Well,
yeah.
Argentinian, sort of.
Yeah, but he calls
Is
her
he
mama
Latino,
constantly.
Really?
That, like, no teenager.
Slater,
would
a very Latino name. It's like the whitest.
Yeah, but his mom is Latino.
Oh, really?
Don't you remember in the college years when there's that one episode where
I never
he...
watched the college year. I hate it. I watched one episode and I'm
like,
this is,
like
the magic's gone.
Trust me, I didn't like it either, but I still, like, watched it anyway.
I did not watch it.
But
magic
there's one episode where he protests for the dishwashers that work at their college because he's really? I'm Latino also.
That's the first time they ever mentioned his ethnic background.
Like, yeah, totally.
In like 12 years of shows.
Well, they do have an episode where they...
And it's to support dishwashing.
Right.
What stereotypical way to... He's at a college and the big issue is like, let's support the dishwashers union.
Yeah.
Very racist.
Yeah.
It's racist.
But there is an episode, I forget which one, off the dome, but it's one where they're tricking... Oh, it's when his girlfriend comes... It's when they both ask Slater and... I haven't even done this one yet, but they both ask this girl to a dance and they're fighting over her. And so Slater goes to the movies with her and Zach hires a lady to fake like he's Slater's mom and comes and is like, Slater, I'm your mom. It's my birthday. And she's a Latino lady. So that's why I think...
Wouldn't Slater recognize his own mom?
Well, that's the joke is that he's trying to be like, no, that's not my mom. What are you talking about? And the girl's like, of course it is. Anyway, that's a whole nother episode.
Who would pretend to be your mom? Especially a Latino lady, Slater, run with her.
Yeah. Like, so that's what makes me think, like, oh, he's Latino. Like, they know he's
She walk
Latino.
In, she's like, por favor, hace Slater.
No, it was...
tú eres mi... yo soy tu mamá. Por favor, mi piñata no funciona bueno.
Your Spanish is astounding.
Gracias.
No, she's not speaking Spanish, but I think she does have an accent.
Really?
Yeah.
AC Slater, can't you tell I'm your mother?
Yeah, okay. That's like Speedy Gonzalez.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how racist they went with the accent. How racist did they go with the accent?
I'm gonna get hate mail for this app, buddy.
No, come on.
Okay, let's move on.
All right.
So, that's when
I don't think you have to worry about it.
Christy is like, let's go practice.
Unlikely Latinos listen to this podcast. Do you think they do?
Of course.
Oh, okay. All right.
Look, my fan base is like a United Colors Benetton ad.
Is that right?
Everyone is on board with what I'm doing.
Okay, good.
And everyone knows that just because I'd like to date blonde dudes, it doesn't mean I'm a racist.
No, it doesn't.
Thank you.
No, and by the way, I would like people to know I'm not a racist either. I was just joking about all of these jokes.
Okay.
I make fun of all...
Sure.
I made Hitler jokes,
sure.
And I'm Jewish. It's all fair game. That's the exact same Elvis picture,
Hitler's,
by the way.
Look, I'll take Hitler down, all right? I'm not afraid.
No, I made like pro-Aryan race jokes. I was saying
okay.
I don't know if I would kill Hitler because... It would affect your dating pool.
That's true. And
even
that's
though my family
of,
was killed by him. So I'm just saying.
That's out of consideration for me. That's just because you're a good friend.
I'm a good friend.
Okay,
I'm
so.
A great friend of yours.
That's when Christy goes, let's go practice. Like, mm-hmm. Slater's like, I'll go show you some moves. Jesse's like, what? This kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So then the next scene is Zach going into the girls' locker room with his huge radio broadcasting pack. Right.
Yeah, with the, I mean, it's the biggest,
it's
like
huge.
The first video camera my family had.
Right.
All of our home videos was literally all you hear audio wise, even we're at the beach, wherever, is my dad saying, is it recording? Is it rolling? Is it on? Is it on? Check if it's on. Ben, Ron, check if it's recording. Is it on? The whole video for like an hour.
Yeah. And you're like, Dad.
Dad, I said it's rolling an hour ago. Please.
Like what?
Make sure it's rolling.
Memories. Yeah.
Oh, it's the worst.
Well, so he's recording from the girls' locker room. He says, even says, I'm broadcasting live from the girls' locker room.
Oh, yeah.
Which
it's a strong move.
Immediate suspension, if not expulsion.
Yeah.
Like you're in the girls'
his
locker
pants.
Room and you're totally saying it.
Yeah.
Like the principal, any teachers, anyone would come in.
Well, the principal does come in.
Well, that's
in.
The thing. So he's talking, broadcasting from the thing. Now, Belding comes in.
Yeah.
He has his he's carrying a radio in one hand, has his other hand over his eyes.
No, he's not carrying a radio.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, he is?
A tiny radio, because that's how he's like, Morris, I know you're
but
in here.
But isn't he reaching around with one hand trying to find the person? So he has to have one hand free. He had a hand free.
I think it was the hand with the radio in it.
Uh-uh, he was grabbing.
Oh, well, the point is he's covering, he comes in.
Yeah.
Because he's like, I heard you're in here.
Yeah.
There's not a female
right.
teacher that can
and he's
come.
Just, and his strategy is, I'm going to cover my eyes so it's not to offend the girls' locker room, but I will grab randomly at the air.
Yes.
Trying to find Zach Morris.
Yes.
Then he grabs a girl.
Yes.
Forcibly and goes, I gotcha, Zach. And then opens his eyes and, oh, to
it's
his chagrin,
a
it's a girl in a towel.
It's a girl in a towel who screams.
And then he
right
removes
then,
the towel and makes love to her right there.
Oh, God.
It was love.
But
I think
listen,
it was love.
He would immediately have been fired. A
yeah.
grown man in a girl's locker room grabs a girl student in a towel. You're gone, buddy. You're in jail.
True.
You're probably in jail when that girl's parents find out.
What if he's
he
explains
went
to,
a
to
room
the judge?
That exclusively exists for
what,
teenage
what if
girls
he explains
to get
to the
addressed
judge?
In.
I was just aggressively trying to get another male out of there by grabbing at the air. What if he says that?
That doesn't hold up in court at all.
All right, but I think it's
because
a decent.
You just missed my point.
At least it's a good moral argument.
If we're in court, I go, Mr. Belding.
Yeah.
You do know that you walked into an area exclusively designated for teenage girls.
With my eyes closed. To disrobe. My eyes closed. With my eyes closed, Your Honor.
But you had your hand out, groping, grabbing for...
How else, if my eyes are closed, how else am I supposed to know if it's a man or woman unless I feel their private areas?
Sir, why not assign a female teacher to go do that?
Listen, Mrs. Bliss was unavailable. She was in class.
Mr. Belding, am I to believe that there is only one female teacher in your entire school?
We were not a very progressive school.
What about Mrs. Culpepper?
Nope.
What about Miss Simpson, the deaf teacher?
They were having lunch. They were having lunch at a very loud place, and the deaf teacher didn't care how loud it was.
so it was very peaceful
to her there.
You know what, sir? I have to say, you're free to go. The charges are removed.
Thank you so much. I was about to plead the fifth, so I'm glad that worked out.
You gave such convincing testimony now I'm on board.
The deaf argument really put it over the edge, huh?
Okay, so so the next scene is Christy and Slater practicing in the gym, doing wrestling moves, it really does just look like they're hugging up on each other.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really suspect.
Well, at first it was legit, but then the next move, of course, which happens to be when Jesse walks in and oversees it, classic sitcom misunderstanding, suddenly they're lingering. Suddenly she's like, ooh, you're strong. You're real strong.
Yeah, and she's like, hold me tighter.
Hold me tighter.
And he's like, okay.
Something, I mean, I guess you could say that in wrestling context, but...
Right. I think it's suspect, and I don't blame any girlfriend who walks by that. For going, what? That's weird.
Well, if she should have investigated more. Jesse Spano, instead of storming off screaming like she did, she should have walked in and been like, let's see if you got a boner right now. And if there's no boner, you shouldn't be mad. If there's a boner, then you've proven your point.
Okay.
Boner check.
So, a boner check. Here's my thing, though. Teenage guys get boners at any given Sunday. Fucking any time of the day.
Yeah.
So that might not even prove a point.
Well, but if you're behind a girl saying, hold you tight, it's got to be strictly business. If it's not, you got to say, let's take a little break because I love Jesse.
Yeah, but
I think boner check's still effective there.
Yes and no, because sometimes you get boner. Don't, you're a guy. You should be on it. I mean, don't you just get boners? It doesn't even
these
mean,
days?
Like,
during, I don't think I ran.
Especially as a teenager. As a teenage guy.
As a teenager, yeah, it's a little harder. But unless you're wearing shorts. Wearing shorts would be scary sometimes. Like, it would be scary when you'd be in PE.
Yeah.
And you'd be in physical education, and then there'd be girls in short shorts, and I have little shorts on. That would be scary.
Because you'd get a boner.
What are you going to do?
But it's like, sometimes it just feel like it's a reflex action. So your boner check might be, it might be, you know how people can cheat lie detector tests?
If you
tests?
Hit me in the knee, my dick pops up.
Right. I mean,
it's literally a reflex action.
I'm just saying, it's sometimes, it's like a guy just sees, it doesn't excuse it, but I'm just saying in this situation, it doesn't necessarily automatically mean he's going to cheat on his girlfriend.
Do girls look for boners like that? Are girls like, am I turning this guy on? Like, not when hooking up, but like in life, if you're walking around? Like,
no, not in life.
You don't look around?
What are you saying? That like, if I'm talking to a guy, I look and see
if he
has a boner?
Do you ever look and check, yeah.
Never have I done that. No. And then if you're hooking, you feel.
Even if you're being particularly sexy, that you've never like, did that work right there? That line I said.
I can't remember a time I ever thought I was being really sexy just then. I should look and see if I left a boner in my wake. I've never thought that. Ever have I thought that. Which maybe could be
Thank
a reason
God.
I haven't hooked up with many dudes.
Fair.
Maybe no, if I have I that mindset.
I think you're probably in the majority there.
Okay.
I was just curious. I've never asked a woman that question. I was curious to know.
I mean, I've looked in a guy's dick region to see if I can assess the situation, but I've never specifically
not looking for
done
a boner,
like a
looking
boner
for
check.
Size. But some people are growers, some people are showers.
Right. Right.
So you don't know. Like in the wrestling scene that comes soon, I commented that AC Slater looked like he had no dick.
Right.
He looked like
he's
he
wearing
had
a
no
cup,
dick.
Though.
But a cup's supposed to be big.
Right.
It covers your big dick, so it should be bigger than your dick. It doesn't shrink your dick.
Right.
Cup is not like a magical shrinking cup. It's like a fucking Disneyland magic
shop. We're
going tough
on Slater and his dick tonight.
You better believe it.
Okay. Anyway, so Jesse walks by. She hears that. She's clearly like they're cheating.
Yeah, she's like air conditioning Slater is cheating on me.
Right. So she immediately I wrote this down because I was like, what a cool feminist. Instead of woman to woman confronting Christy and just being like, look, level with me. Like, is something going on? Just be cool about it. Is something going on? Like, da da da. She immediately goes to
the
radio station.
The power of the airwaves again.
Immediately takes it public.
Yeah. And doesn't explain. Just says, you know what? I was wrong.
Yeah. And
we should not support female wrestlers.
Yes. And publicly condemns Christy.
Yeah.
So that's way harsh. That's harsh across the board. But if you're an alleged feminist, like, that's way harsh.
And it also just brings up another issue that I always think, like, people always get mad at the person that their partner cheated with. And I feel like that person's not so guilty. You should get mad at your partner.
Oh, that's 100% true. That's like such a Jerry Springer, like,
it's ridiculous.
Getting mad at the lady when it's like, well, no, the lady didn't cheat on you. Right. She's not in a relationship with you.
She didn't know what the details of your relationship were.
Right.
Maybe you had an open relationship. Maybe you were getting revenge. You don't need to know these things.
It's 100% true. She should have been trashing on Slater, but she doesn't.
Yeah.
She trashes on Christy, says, I take it back. No ladies should be wrestlers.
Yep.
All right. So.
And also, just as a general question, how come none of the dudes wanted to wrestle the girl? They're all like, I don't want to wrestle the girl. I would have been way into it. And not just from like an Andy Kaufman performance art standpoint, just like sexually.
Well, maybe you're more evolved than the average high school guy. And we could talk about it, because this next scene is Zach going on a date with Christy.
Oh, yeah.
And
at the Max.
His manhood is threatened because one of the Valley dudes comes in and is like, yo, what's up? I'm going to beat your ass. And first of all, Zach stands up to him to go, get out of here, dude. I'm on a date.
Yep.
And I did make a note of the fact that Zach is like a good 3 inches tall. Like, easy. Zach is bigger than this dude.
Yeah, he's half a dick bigger than this guy.
Yeah, yes. Half a dick?
Half a regular sized dick, like average dick.
Okay. He's like clearly bigger than this dude. Absolutely could have taken him. But then the guy gets him in a headlock or something.
Yeah, the guy gets him in a headlock.
And that's when Christy comes up and saves the day.
And luckily, she had just been trained on headlock removal moves by AC
Slater.
Earlier
that day.
Moments earlier.
Yeah, so
just
she's
in
got
time
it.
For her to have this move for this scene.
Yes. And so, and she's also significantly smaller than this guy, but still puts him
in
a headlock.
She's got the moves.
Yeah. So she effectively saves Zach's life.
But while emasculating him in a huge way.
Exactly, so he can't handle it.
No.
So the combination of that, and then the next day, Christy's like, everybody hates me. Jesse hates me. This really sucks. And then Zach comes in and says, Christy, I got to talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not working out between us. And I wrote that down because hilariously he says that after a date.
After
one
a
date.
Date.
He's like,
it's just not working out between us. And he delivers the line weird, between us.
Yeah.
Between us. He said it in some weird way.
But also he says it as if they've been in like this long-term relationship. And so then that's when she's like, what, this sucks. Christy storms out of the Max like, I'm quitting the team. I hate everybody.
Very dramatic. She almost on the verge of tears. She's like, you're breaking up with me. Not only am I going to not be able to date you, I'm also quitting the team.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Why? What does it have to do with anything?
Well, because she's like, everybody hates me.
It's like, you fought for this your whole life, though.
Yeah.
Rosa Parks didn't get broken up with and say, you know what, I'm leaving the bus. She didn't do that. Separate issues. Got to separate work and pleasure.
That's right.
I mean, come on. What is the... I think Harriet Tubman digging underground there was like, I'm turning around.
It's because this boy doesn't like me anymore.
The dude tagging along with me just said he doesn't like me anymore. Forget the cause.
She really
seemed more boy crazy than wrestling crazy. That's not a good feminist role model in this episode.
Look, and if anybody knows better than me, no one does. If you got nothing, no, dudes, concentrate on your career.
Yeah, you got to.
You got to focus on your career.
You got to, yes.
If your personal life is suffering, throw all that into your career, Christy.
That's exactly
wrestle
right.
harder than you've ever wrestled before.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. But instead, she quits. And then that's when the next scene is back in the radio station. And that's when Zach is kind of talking to Jesse, like, man, I'm so bummed. And Jesse is like, basically, like, fuck that girl. She was trying to cheat with Slater. And Zach's like, no, she wasn't, dummy. Like, she's into me.
Right. In, like, six lines, the dramatic tension gets immediately dissipated.
Right.
She's like, no, he likes, she's into the stud of the school. And he's
school
like,
hunk.
What am I, baloney?
Yes.
Which is a great line.
She goes,
you always want to throw that
Lisa
one out there.
Lisa says that she's dating the school hunk.
What am I, baloney?
Zach says, what am I, a bologna sandwich?
A bologna sandwich. That's
which
right.
I love that because he was just acknowledging, like, I'm the school hunk. Like, he just says it like, duh. It's me. I'm the school hunk, dummy.
Yeah. Not
and,
your
and
guy.
And claims that title. You know what I mean? Like, it's me.
Your guy might be the school hunk for Latinos.
Yes.
You know, something
racial.
Like that. Yeah. I like to get racial about it.
So that's when Jesse's like, oh my God, I'm a total idiot.
I've been the worst.
Yeah. Now, the next scene is Zach back in the girls' locker room, where he apparently just chills now on the reg.
He's
just like, let's go to the girls'
that's
locker
his
room.
Spot, yeah.
That's not allowed.
No, and he and he tries to make amends.
Also, there would be a female gym teacher in. There was always a female gym teacher in my locker room.
I don't know. We did not have dudes. We didn't have male teachers in our locker room.
We totally had like a female gym teacher office in our locker room. There would have been somebody in
there.
She
might have been like looking a little too close.
Of course, but even still, she's an adult authority figure that would have been like, hey, no guys can be in here.
Pretty hot, actually.
Okay.
Adult authority figure female.
I'm not gonna. No, don't derail it. No.
God. Okay. I'm sorry.
So. He comes in to make amends. Of course, the one place where he can talk to her is the girls' locker room. Yep. Not like, hey, why don't you go out in the hallway, we'll meet, or how about like over here? No. Makes amends with her inside the girls' locker room. Says, don't quit the team over a jerk like me. And then she's like, you're right.
And they hug.
Yes.
Like, so far, all they've done is hug, like, very they sweet embraces.
Sweet embraces. And then he's like, go to the movies with me tonight. She's like, totally. So... the next scene, we're back in the gym.
This is the match.
The match.
And this is the scene where A.C. Slater has no penis.
Yes, because he's wearing a cup.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't make any sense to me.
Here are some things about this. Did you go to any wrestling matches during high school?
Definitely not.
Me neither.
Yeah, no.
Did you know anyone who did?
No.
No. My guess is the parents of the people maybe went.
Yeah, and you would just see occasionally a kid walk by you in the halls with cauliflower ears, and you're like, weird choice for a sport.
Right.
I really want to just tackle other dudes and fuck my ears up for life.
I'm not, again, as a young redneck into fake wrestling, I'm not judging anyone's choice to be a wrestler. That's fine and great.
I'm judging.
You are, I'm not. But watching this scene, everyone in the school is seemingly here. They're all standing around. There's no bleach. No one is sitting in bleachers. Like, everyone's at face level with the wrestlers.
Yeah.
Who then just, like, go down and wrestle. And everyone is standing over them, yelling in their faces.
It's very, maybe it's like gangs in New York. It's very intense.
That's so perfect. That's exactly what they're like a foot away from them, screaming in their faces.
Yeah.
And I have to think like that's not even the principal. Belding is in the middle yelling at them.
Sure.
I just don't think that's how school sports ever really go.
Maybe for unpopular sports, you know, you get
a front row
seat.
Yeah, but I feel like even the wrestling, it's done. You have bleachers.
Right.
You
that's
have
true.
Seats.
That's true. I mean, I think that's a good point. I mean, but
I think
it goes
dangerous
back to
for people to get that close to them
I
and
think
yelling at them.
The director of this episode was just real lax with his background artist enforcement. Starting from that first frame, they're stretching too aggressively. He's like, I'll just let it go.
Let it slide until they creep
up. Let these guys
up.
Do whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
He really was not paying attention
That's
to it.
That's right.
His second unit director maybe was like
There's
asleep.
No law and order on that set.
No, I'd be curious to find out if like the second AD or the first AD in this episode like had a heart attack and was in the hospital and they were very distracted.
I love that you
able...
think they even have that, those people.
You don't think so?
There's just like one dude
one
holding
guy.
The camera.
It's Belding himself directing the episode.
Yeah, totally. Anyway, so that's weird. Everybody is super close up and yelling at them. Wrestling match happens. Of course she wins. Christy totally
wins. Yeah. Crushes it.
And then that's when, you know, the final scene, like Zach comes out with his mic because he's broadcasting and he's like, congratulations, got to get a post-game interview with you.
Has he been a reporter a lot in the past?
Just since they found, you know, they found the radio station in the basement, remember?
Oh, is that what happened? No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, they like stumble over it in the basement and like blow the dust off of all the equipment and they're now we have a radio station.
Nice.
Yeah, so he comes to get the post-game interview and is like, Christy, what's up? And she...
In front of everybody.
In front of everyone.
Yeah.
She...
Body slams him
and then kisses him.
Like an aggressive, sexy kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
kisses
of a sudden, very advanced.
On air, in front of everyone.
In private, sweet hugs.
Yeah.
In front of everybody, she... it's almost,
she's like, less French.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of sex do you think they were going to have that night? Like, I feel like aggressive, like, she was going to strap it on.
Well, she's flexible, obviously, and knows moves.
She was going to be the aggressor.
Shit.
She was going to be the dominant sexual force.
Of course.
And Zach was going to have a new experience.
I think so. I think she's going to teach him some shit.
And then
Definitely. The
next day he's going to say to her, like, again, I feel as though it's not working between
not
us.
Not working out between us.
And let's never speak about this to anybody.
Well, the episode does end with him saying, that's Christy, the winner, and also my date for tonight. And if you have a problem with that, she'll beat you up. So I think that Zach learned a lot about himself, about his masculinity.
Yeah, and his turn-ons.
About gender roles and how to be comfortable if they're not traditional.
Sure.
I like it. I like it a lot.
I think it was a good episode overall. We never see Christy again, though, right?
Never again.
She's gone.
Never again.
So clearly he doesn't like it that much. I mean, how much did he learn?
Well, you know,
everybody takes a swing to a weird side sometimes, but then...
Look, you don't know, though. She could have been like... transferred to another school, got on her wrestling world to like, I got to go watch other wrestlers. I've learned what I need to know from Slater. Now let's go watch other high school wrestlers.
Right, she travels
in other
Earth.
Districts. Yes.
That's true.
She's like the Highlander of female wrestlers. There can only be one, Christy Barnes.
That's exactly right.
She walks the earth.
She's a Kane in Kung Fu.
Yes.
I don't even know what that reference means, but I think it's a line from Pulp Fiction.
Because I think that he also walks the earth.
Yeah, I think so too, yeah.
Okay, so that was awesome.
It was really, I mean, I missed the show. I forgot how much I liked the
show. I was
about
to say, what's your personal history with the show? You watched it growing up.
Watched it growing up, absolutely. And I even liked the comedic. We didn't mention Screech in this episode. But we did mention him briefly, but I thought he was funny.
This is a pretty Screech-free episode.
Yeah, he had a few lines.
Yeah.
He co-announced with Zach during the match and
just
said the wrong thing every time.
Right. Well, that's what he does. That's Screech.
What he does, yeah.
And he wore a shirt covered in violins.
But he also tries to do stand-up and is not great at it.
Oh, no. I've heard horror stories about that.
He was a guest on my TV show in college. And
was he a jerk to you?
No, he was very nice to me, but he did, instead of saying pussy, he would randomly say, cock. And we did it. It was funny because we did it. I went to UCSD. We did it in the Muir Quad my freshman year or sophomore year as well. And so the stage we built outside was between the two residence halls. There's like 2 8-story buildings.
Right.
And he was getting heckled from like multiple stories of this building down on him. He's like yelling with people that are up in the windows. It was pretty amazing.
But wait, when you were you trying to do like a serious interview with him and he just kept yelling cock?
Well, no, he was doing stand-up first. He wanted to do stand-up first. And I was like, really? I'd rather just do the interview. He's like, I'll do stand-up, then we'll do the interview.
Okay.
And he bombed pretty hard. He was new to it in his defense. But
right.
He just kept, whenever he'd bomb a joke, he'd just go, cock. People were like, shut up. You suck. He's like, cock. And then he sat down for the interview. And I'm still proud of this question to this day. Saved by the Bell theme question. It was on my early highlight reel when I moved down to Hollywood.
Okay.
First question I said to him. Now, Dustin, people know you mainly from Saved by the Bell.
Mm-hmm.
They may not know you're also from Saved by the Bell, the new class. Saved by the Bell, the college years. And Saved by the Bell, Wedding in Las Vegas. And I got a big laugh.
No, that's awesome.
And then he played along. He goes, and soon, Saved by the Bell, the geriatric years.
Oh,
so
nice.
I gave him a little props.
Well played.
It was well played.
That seems to be probably the last time he really had a sense of humor about it.
Probably so, yeah.
Because now I think he doesn't.
Then he started making sex tapes, didn't he?
Let's not go down that road.
No, no one should ever watch that.
No.
No.
But that's it. So you watched it growing up, and then have you not watched it recently?
Like, I haven't watched it. This first episode I've probably seen in like at least 6-7 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It was nice to go back.
Nice to revisit
it
your
was
Kelly
real
Kapowski
nice
boner.
To go back. Yeah. I'm going to co-host this podcast with you from now on because I'm so into it.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah.
No problem.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, that's no problem.
It'll be great.
Okay, you are at Ben Glebe on Twitter.
Yes.
You do a podcast called The Last Week on Earth.
Yes, it's called Last Week on Earth. It's on Smodcast Network, Kevin Smith's
nice.
Network.
Awesome.
And every week I summarize everything that happened on the planet Earth. So what you do for Saved by the Bell, I do for all of the planet.
For all of the planet.
And
damn.
It's a lot of research goes into every episode. So I hope people listen because you literally learn the news stories.
Okay, cool.
And it's hopefully funny as well.
Awesome.
And I make less racist jokes there.
Oh,
like
that's cool that you saved
like
them
a
for
one-off.
This. Cool. Okay.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Totally.
Okay, everyone. That was another episode of Go Bayside. I have some stuff I want to say here. First of all, I want to thank a lovely lady named Jordan who emailed me what seems to be a master list of the order of this because I know I talk about how I have 17,000 documents. So I might go by this and I'm going to have to fill in some holes on the Netflix order. But as of now, I have the next episode that's coming up is going to be No Hope with Dope. That's going to be the next episode. Also, I want to thank 2 very generous gentlemen who gave me very generous donations, Scott Valentine and Paul Garrett. You guys are awesome. I appreciate it. And if you guys want to donate, there's a PayPal button on the Tumblr because, yeah, you know, it costs money to host this and everything. So if you feel like you want to, go for it. The Tumblr is gobayside.tumblr.com. And that's where I can always be found. And also subscribing on iTunes is awesome. Leaving me nice reviews on iTunes is the best. And I appreciate everyone who has done so far. And I will see you guys next time on Go Bayside.
Go Bayside!